Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Unfiltered Survivors with Amanda and the amazing Kelly.
What's up?
It's been so long. It may have been a little too long. I'm not going to lie. It may have been too long. But
I know.
I missed you. I missed this. I needed that break. I did, okay? But I have truly missed. There's too much going on in the world to not be podcasting, and there's too many amazing people to talk to not be podcasting. So I miss talking to you regularly, because sometimes I feel like we go on hiatus, and I think that we go on hiatus as friends, and we're not supposed to. So I'm glad that we're back so that we can go back to talking consistently and catching up.
Yes. So, and you know, so, I mean, you know, that's like an ebb and flow
yes.
friendship anyway.
Yes.
But it is a different layer, you know, when we are podcast co-hosts and friends.
Yes.
And so a break is fine, but I did miss you
yes.
and I did miss our listeners.
Yes.
And we were very busy, and we tried to keep up with you guys on social, but I am telling you, we needed a break.
Yes.
But now, like, we are so energized and so excited for this next, you know, season.
Yes.
And I cannot wait. I cannot wait. I wake up and I am just like, hallelujah.
Yes. I'm going to try to be more positive as the holidays are coming. And you know, that is not my favorite season, but it is football season. And that is always makes me happy. So,
yeah.
Yes. But we decided, since we were going to come back and we're going to come back strong, we decided to come back with an amazing guest.
Yeah.
Because even though Kelly and I can spend a whole hour talking about what we did on hiatus, we don't want to do that. We want to bring you an incredible, amazing guest that we, it's a brand and a person that we've come to now know, but a brand that we love and care about, and we want to share it with you. So Nala Mu, which is a non-dairy treats, I don't want to call it ice cream, but it's a non-dairy
right.
sweet treat that is alternative. And we know this brand because they're based out of Austin. They're in Austin, but we can get it everywhere. We decided to have their CEO, Daniel, on.
Yep.
And
yep.
we're going to have him on. He's going to share his story and share the story of the company and how they come about and all great things about Nala Mu and the amazing things that they are doing, he is doing, and his passion. And why not? Why not?
Exactly. Exactly. Y'all are in for, oh, this is so cheesy, a treat.
It wouldn't be you if it wasn't cheesy. But if you know about it, great. You get to hear more from Daniel. And if you don't know about it, then get ready to learn, because I think that you will be ordering your non-dairy sweet treats right along with Kelly and I, because, again, we're excited to share them, and they are a great brand, and they have a great product, for sure.
Yep.
So I guess we'll be back with Daniel.
Let's do this.
Yay. Hello, everyone, and we are back, Unfiltered Survivors, with the amazing Kelly and Amanda, and we are so excited to share this very special guest that we've been waiting for, and so we are here to welcome Daniel from Nala Mu. Yay!
Ooh.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much for having me. I've been looking forward to this conversation.
So we're so excited to have you here and share you with all of our listeners, and so we're going to kick it off by you sharing your story all about you and the company.
Awesome. No, thanks so much. And again, thank you all for having me, for this opportunity to dive in and talk about Nala Mu, talk about me, talk about, you know, talk about the company and really life, right? That's who we are. So just for some background on me, I graduated from the University of Texas here in Austin. Hook 'em horns. And I studied mechanical engineering at the university. My very first job out of undergrad was working for a wind power utility. I really wanted to work in renewable energy. Here in Texas, a lot of engineers go into oil and gas, right? There's a lot of jobs. It's a massive part of our state economy. And right off the bat, I knew that that was not an industry that I wanted to be a part of for many reasons, mostly because I believe in renewable energy. I believe in sustainability and moving our world in that direction. Worked for a one-year stint, worked for a wind power utility based out of Madrid, Spain. Got to live in Madrid for about a year, which is really cool.
Nice.
It was nice to live and work in Europe. And after that stint, I knew that I was going to come back to Austin. I knew I wanted to call Austin home. I was born here in the city of Austin, came to school here, and there's just something about this city that's just really, you know, really vibrant. There's a lot of cool things going on, a lot of cool people. And so as I was returning back to my life in Austin, I started connecting with different people in my network to be like, hey, I'm back looking for work. You know, I kind of found out that what I came back from Madrid with was, look, I love the work that I was doing, but I really don't see a long-term career for myself as an engineer, like sitting at a desk, working on Excel spreadsheets. You know, and that just didn't seem very fun or exciting or dynamic to me. So I was a bit confused, came back here. And as I'm reconnecting with a close friend of my family and just talking about all the things that I was interested in, you know, sustainability. I've been thinking a lot about health and wellness. As I lived in Europe, I noticed that Europeans were, you know, a lot healthier than we are, a lot more mobile. They walk a lot more. These were the things that were on my mind as I returned to Austin. So as I'm having this conversation with this close family friend, he has this idea. He's like, you know what? I'd love to introduce you to somebody. There's this local entrepreneur, and she has this incredible dairy-free ice cream product called Nadamu. He's like, I think you should meet her. You all are passionate about all the same things. I feel like I'm having the same conversations with you that I have with her every time I'm with her. And so he's like, I think you should meet her. That was it. I decided to take a, you know, this of course isn't my entire life story, but it's very prevalent to where my life is today. And just given that one introduction, was introduced to Nadamu, to the founder of Nadamu, tried the product for the first time, and was absolutely blown away that this ice cream product without dairy in it, that was lower calories, lower sugar, lower carbs, zero cholesterol, tasted so much like the traditional ice cream that I grew up on. And even more so, the brand name was Nadamu, right? Like non-dairy, Nadamu.
Yeah.
So I share that I was born here in Austin, but I was raised in Laredo. My parents split up at a very young age. I was about 3 years old, and my mom's family was from Laredo. So when my parents split, she decided that she knew that she was going to need some family support and just, you know, really that community of people to surround her to, you know, to ensure that she could raise myself and my two sisters to the best of her ability. So, you know, that's just to say growing up in South Texas, being around Mexican culture, Mexican-American culture here in the state of Texas, for me, the brand name Nadamu just resonated so deeply with me. It's Spanglish, right? Or kind of. It's the Spanish word for no, and moo is just, you know, it's a noise, noise the cow makes.
The cow, yeah. And, you know, when you say that, so my husband, when he first heard of your brand, Nadamu, right, he was like, Nada Moo, and I'm like, really, man, come on, you know. He is not of Mexican descent, but I am, so I got it. I was like, dude, this is awesome, you know. For me, it's just funny that you mentioned that, because it's like second nature. That's what the name is. That's what it means. So that's really cool.
Yeah, so all those things really, sometimes life happens like that. I'm sure we can all relate to that moment where, you know, the stars are kind of aligning, these people are coming into your life, these ideas, these little thought experiments that we've been having in our mind, you know, you're put in this situation or you're put in these opportunities and we're all forced to make decisions, right? And, you know, really that moment in my life, I decided that I wanted to be a part of this brand. I decided that I wanted to help the founder and her business partner at the time, the CFO. I just wanted to help. I wanted to learn. I knew nothing about this business, but I had an engineering degree and I feel pretty confident in my ability to solve problems. And that was kind of it. You know, I was 24 years old, just young and wild and crazy enough to be ignorant enough to really accept this opportunity that was in front of me. And here we are over 13 years later.
Wow.
And, you know, the company is growing strong.
Yeah. So what made you like listen to that voice? So you're 24 years old. You already knew, for one, like the wise mind that you listen to of like, this is not what I want to do at such a young age. Like a lot of people, spend 10 years in a career or something that they just go through the motions, that they think that that's supposed to be the way it is. So I guess, how did you learn that listening to your voice was important at that young age?
That is a great question. I'm not sure I have the answer to it, but I don't know. I've always been very much, I think about everything, you know, like we all do. Mind runs and runs and runs. And something about all of that just felt right. It's like a guttural feeling, right?
Yeah.
Like you feel it in your gut.
Yeah.
It seemed really, really exciting. It seemed like this path, you know, it seemed like this, you know, I wouldn't call it the path of least resistance by any means. It had, there was this excitement and this, there was like a fear of the unknown, but it was like exciting to just be involved in something so cool in product format. It's fun. It's ice cream.
Yeah.
And there was just a quiet confidence about the situation where I just felt like this is what I needed to do. And I trusted that. I trusted that thought. I trust my gut a lot with everything I do, you know, for as much pencil to the paper as you can put, and, you know, trying to analyze every situation fully. You know, there's something to be said for that. That's an important piece of it too. But I don't know, most of the biggest and, you know, best and sometimes worst decisions have come straight from my gut. But you have to trust your gut. Sometimes your gut's going to take you on a path of like, you know, some massive tragedy, right? Like you can go down that road too, but I've always had this firm belief that even in that experience, like that's where I have learned the most, right? Through those tragedies. And so, sometimes you just have to really trust your intuition. And I don't know, I feel like there's been something in my mom's family too, I feel, where I see it in my nieces and my nephews, right? Like there's this depth to them. There's this wisdom in them at these very young ages.
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know if it's like a family thing, if these are like some innate traits and characteristics of our past. But yeah, it's always been a strength of mine, and I've always been good at having those internal conversations and being able to filter through what is the negative chatter, you know, that you just need to blow off and you need to combat and push back on, and what are the things that, you know, you are being fed that you should really follow. It's constant. I still go through that every day to today, to be quite honest.
So that's so good, because I think it's important for people to not feel so like, oh, it sounds weird that I'm going to listen to my gut or whatever. Because a lot of people don't, like, they have that feeling, but they don't really ever want to admit it, or that they will actually, like, follow that gut. So kudos to you for, like, following your gut and being, you know, open enough to say, hey, this is what I do and it's how I do my business too. Because judgment of character and, like, what feels right is just, I feel like that's so powerful, and that's like everybody helping you, you know, all around.
It's truly,
I feel like guides and the universe and all that kind of stuff. So I think that's awesome.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've definitely, it's been something that I value and appreciate so much. And I mean, a constant struggle that we all go through, right? And we all, I mean, there's a part of me that really believes that's a part of all of it. Like that's very foundational and fundamental to all of our lives, is getting better and better at, you know, keeping your mind clear, keeping your gut and your internal system healthy, like keeping all those, your mind, body, you know, soul, gut, and everything aligned and in harmony will put you in the greatest position to be able to deal with anything and everything that is thrown your way.
Absolutely. To be your best is how I always like to say it. Like, what can I do to mentally and physically and emotionally be my best? And a lot of it is food, you know, like when you feed your body, what do I say, Amanda? Like crap, like the chemical.
Then you feel
junk.
Like crap.
So I was going to say, Daniel, when I first saw your label, Not the Womb, I was so excited because personally, I am dairy-free. I try to be for over a decade. A lot of my journey post-stroke was to really tune in to my body, to get my body moving, and to get my mind right. When I found out a couple things, just personally, I am not a doctor. We are not, like, you know, saying all this medical advice or whatever. But, like, for me, I found out that dairy gave me acid reflux, that it gave me that indigestion, that it made my skin look like chicken skin. It made my children's skin look the same way. And it made me have excessive dandruff and earwax.
Wow.
I'm like, so serious. Like, it's not even a decade ago, at least, I was trying to find products that didn't have dairy, that did not have whey, lactose, whatever. I've slowly started finding things with, like, the coconut base and the this and that. And I tried some stuff. And, of course, ice cream is, like, instilled in the American way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so when I found that, I was like, oh, my gosh, this tastes amazing. I was so excited. And this is over 5 years ago when I found you guys. There has not been a flavor, I can tell you, that I have not, like, absolutely loved. And my kids, my daughter is just loving the cookies and cream one. When you're looking at, like, the health factor of what you offer, like, did any of your family have any dairy issues, or did you notice that, you know, some of your friends, or that you were even having issues, or how did that all come about?
Yeah, so when I first stumbled upon the product, I personally had no, I had no dairy allergens. I didn't even know that that was a thing yet. I mean, I got involved with the company in 2008. The company was founded in 2005. I mean, a lot of this predated, you know, this mass, you know, this mass situation where a lot of people are just realizing that they cannot ingest dairy, right? Like, there's a lot of allergens associated with it. So I had no issues. My family didn't really have any known issues. I think we all understand now that we're all cutting more dairy and animal products in general out of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
I think now we understand more clearly, like, oh, I feel better. Like, when I was consuming those things, I didn't feel great. I didn't feel great all the time. And so, no, to be short, like, there were no family issues. What I will say, part of the inspiration for me getting involved too, my grandfather, who was a massive, I mean, he was like a big, big hero within the family. I mean, just a really transformational figure for all of us. He passed away of cancer and diabetes. Mm-hmm. When you have cancer and diabetes, it's hard to even tell in the end what really kills you, right?
Yeah.
He had both of those things working against him in the latter years of his life. And what I knew for sure, like, the first reason why I was passionate about Natamu was the lower calories, sweetened with agave nectar, a low glycemic sweetener, which, you know, for diabetics, we can't say, you know, our product isn't, you know, approved for diabetic patients. We could never go there because the clinical community would not allow us to, but it is certainly diabetic friendly. Like, it's a lot more friendly to the diabetic lifestyle than traditional ice cream because of the agave nectar. Mm-hmm. I also knew it had zero cholesterol. Like, it was just this better for you ice cream. And so when I was first introduced to the brand, it was all about obesity and diabetes. Like, that was kind of the bigger problem that we were a solution for before dairy-free, before the plant-based movement. And so for me, that was an extra thing that made me really passionate about it. You know, I thought about my grandpa. I thought about where I grew up in Laredo, Texas. You know, South Texas is one of the most obese regions in the United States of America. There's a lot of diabetes. There's a lot of, there are a lot of health issues driven by obesity and just poor diet and lifestyle.
Right.
And so to me, this was really, again, at 24 years old, I'm like, man, this is a way that I can work. I can do good. I can inform and educate, you know, the people of, you know, my culture and from where I grew up. And that was a lot of the motivation.
Oh, that's so awesome.
I mean, that makes a huge difference because it sounds like you just wanted to make a difference when something personally affects your family and that's just, or yourself. Cause I mean, with me, with my transplant now, being on kidney disease and this diet is very strict and I had to give up dairy because my kidneys can't process anything, stuff like this would benefit me to be able to hit that craving, right? But I didn't know about diet restrictions, that kind of stuff, until I got sick. I was in a Latin family where we, as I say, I'm Puerto Rican, we worship the pig and fry this, fry that. I had an old school grandma, so that was the food I was raised up on. I didn't know anything about healthy foods or real vegetables until I became a culinary student and learned all about it and how to cook it and what's good for you and what's not. And so I think that's what kind of happens, that until it affects your circle or your, you know, you don't really realize what you're doing or what you need or what you need to cut out or why do I feel like crap? What is making me feel this way? And it isn't until it affects us somehow that we realize, oh, I need to make a change. I need to now go find these alternatives because this isn't going to work for me anymore.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, that lifestyle, those diets, those diet decisions, dietary decisions, compounded over time, creates disease. Exactly. And ultimately, the disease leads to death. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think, I mean, this is like very fresh on my mind. I just got back from Laredo. But yeah, being down there, again, I'm subject to everybody's trying to throw me all the food, right? Like, come on, mijo, you know, here, eat some fajitas, the way that you used to. And I'm like, I'll pass the day. And they look at me like, what is wrong with you? Yeah. I'm like, guys, like, you have to understand, like, I'm not saying I don't like this food anymore. This is the food of my culture, of my upbringing. I can do it every now and then if I really feel like it, or if I want some real soul food and, you know, reconnect with whatever the nostalgia of the cultural cuisine. But aside from that, I know that it doesn't serve me on the day to day. And so I have to be very, very selective and very disciplined about, like, hey, you know, like, I can't. And it's an opportunity for me to preach a little. I try to not be overly preachy because I do believe that everybody, you know, they're on their own journey. They're all they're all moving at their own pace toward, you know, a more efficient and healthier lifestyle. If they care about themselves and the way they feel and the way that they're going to move on or put themselves out there in the world and connect with people. And so for me, those things are very personal. I try to not be too preachy, but I live it out with my lifestyle, you know, and I try to be that, you know, inspiration or motivation just by saying, like, hey, look at what I feel great. I'm not perfect. I'm not holier than thou by any means, but like, this is the way that I have decided to live my life on the day to day because it makes me feel better and I have more energy and I feel more clear and I wake up feeling good. I don't feel sluggish. And so those are the things that, within our culture, I mean, we have to get better. Like, we have to get better over time. And food does not have to taste bad. And, like, good food that is good for you does not have to taste bad. We just have to embrace it with open arms, and we have to begin to learn how to work with it, you know, work with it and get the right flavors and spices and sauces in there. And so, you know, I feel like there are seismic shifts going on across all cultures. But again, everybody at their own pace and we, you know, myself, our team, I think we just really want to be a part of that positive impact. We want to shed light on the way that things could be. And that's, you know, that's a very powerful piece of our work every day too. That's what inspires us and motivates us to wake up every day and work really hard to build this brand and to shed light on a much better way and a healthier way of pushing forward into our futures.
Well, I want to say you're very bold to tell an old school tia that you're not going to eat her food, because I couldn't do that. Tell the story. I'm just going to be very honest.
If there are wills in the future, I said, I'm sure I'll get cut out.
I'm pretty sure you done got cut out.
It's okay.
You know what? There's something coming back for you for that.
They're like, nah, this one, he's spent too much time in Austin.
Yeah, he's changed. He's not the same.
I
get it all the time because I'm from Jersey, so I moved to Texas, and they're like, oh, Texas changed you. I'm like, no, how about a heart transplant changed me? But because again, they don't understand. The newer generation is now understanding the effects of your body and what you do and how you treat it affects how you feel. Old school doesn't think that way. So what I can say is that what I do appreciate is that the younger generations of chefs and people in the culinary field are now doing so many things and showing us that the foods that we love can be plant-based or have better alternatives or don't have to be fried or things like that, and they still taste amazing. It's just giving it a chance. It's putting yourself out there to try something new and be wanting to make that change. But you have to want to. Like you said, ultimately, you have to want to be the change and feel the way you want to feel, but you can't force it on anybody, as I know myself. And I stopped preaching a long time ago. I'm like, hey, you know what, focus on that.
And I think it's, I think it's, you know, we're talking a lot about people and how it powers our health, right? And then I think us as a brand, the other thing we're really trying to push is, if we as a collective of the humans on this planet who constantly are interaction with our planet, with the planet as it is in its most natural form. Yes. If we can put our best foot forward and be more internally connected, you know, better aligned to be better stewards of the planet, like, ultimately we can accelerate the change and the sustainability of the planet that we live on. Like, that's really, that's where everything links up. We, the people, and the planet that we live on. It's up to us to make those everyday decisions, to put our best foot forward, to make our best decisions for the future and the future generations. And by making those decisions, we are accelerating the rate at which we can make this planet that we all love and live on a more sustainable place.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's one of the things also I love about that is, like, your efforts in all of the sustainability and what you do with packaging and what's on your forefront. I'm sure it's going to be bigger and better and so much more lovely for the earth. Like, I'm so excited for your company and for, like, how far you've come from that first job that you're like, nope, this is not going to do it. And then now, like, a company that truly is impacting others and changing lives and opening up doors to people that never knew they needed that door open. Even talking about family, like, so, you know, oh, what are you talking about? I'm just going to have my, you know, whatever ice cream. And like, no, try this. It's okay. And it's going to make your stomach not feel whatever, you know, if you have. It's just nice that your company is making such a big impact, and I'm so excited and thankful that you are on telling your story, telling Nadabu's story. It's just amazing.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we work really, really hard at it, as I'm sure you can imagine. And I think it's incredible. We've made a tremendous impact. I mean, we've seen all sorts of numbers, and we've penetrated a lot of households and gotten the brand in front of a lot of people. And at the same time, we can also feel like we've barely scratched the surface, right? Like, Nadamu is not yet on the level of Ben and Jerry's, right? Like, and really, that's where, you know, as we push forward and we, you know, can put more money to work in marketing and be more aggressive at creating brand awareness, you know, we really want to accelerate that impact. We think we have a better story to tell than a brand like Ben and Jerry's. Like, we think their brand is great. We appreciate all the social activism that they've stood for, you know, since the brand started. But in our opinion, you know, if they were able to do it all over again, Ben and Jerry, they'd be building a brand that looks a lot more like Nadabu. And so we know we have a lot of work to do, and with, you know, with the help of our customers and our growing customer base and our, you know, our shareholders, our team, and everybody involved, like, again, it's about the collective of people that really see the work that we're trying to do and want to be a part of that change and, you know, want to change themselves in the process. That's really what we're out to do. And it's hard work. It's not easy to build a brand. It's not easy to entice a consumer to switch from their favorite dairy ice cream brand to this new Nadamu product that they, you know, sometimes they can't even pronounce it at first. Yeah. And then when it hits them, they're like, that is brilliant.
So we have this podcast, it goes all across the country. So how do people who don't live in Austin or don't necessarily live in Texas, do they have access to this ice cream? How would they be able to get it, try it, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, that's a great question. We have a great website. Our marketing team did incredible work on it, you know, worked with some web developers. Our website is www.nodamu.com. You can go to where to buy page. We have a where to buy page where you can put in your zip code, like go to that page, put in your zip code, put in your address, and it'll show you the nearest stores, the stores nearest you that are carrying the product. And so that's a quick and easy way to do it. We also, we've jumped into e-commerce, right? Through the pandemic and even before, people have started to get more comfortable with buying everything online, even food now. They're becoming a lot more comfortable with getting food online, especially after the pandemic. And so we also, I mean, if you don't have Nodamu in a store near you, or you would prefer to stay home because you're, you know, you feel like you're at higher risk as the pandemic continues, like we will ship product directly to your doorstep. Wow. There are shipping costs associated with it and whatnot. But you know, we're really working to optimize that side of our business too, because we want people to have access to it wherever they are here in the country. So whether, going to our website, shopping online to get the product delivered directly, you know, from us and our fulfillment partners to your door, or finding a grocery store near you, that's the best way to find our product.
But I'm gonna tell you that I want to visit the Austin physical store.
Cool. The Scoop Shop. That's actually, I mean, it's great that you mentioned that. I mean, the Scoop Shop for all travelers to Austin, people who live in Austin. We have found it's really incredible. We have one Scoop Shop location, our one retail location. It's actually right next door. I'm sitting in our headquarter office, and we share a wall with our Scoop Shop, which is very convenient when dessert time rolls around every day. But we opened the shop in I believe 2018, the summer of 2018.
Okay.
And really, I mean, that's a place where we get to have fun, smaller batch flavors. It's really nice to see our national consumer base that travels into Austin, and it's like, it's on their list of things to do. Like next time I'm in Austin, I'm going to go to the Nodamu shop.
Yes.
And so it's nice. Yeah. We're Austin based. This is where the company has, you know, was born and raised, and we're very proud of the city of Austin. But it's nice to share that, you know, that very forward facing brick and mortar consumer experience with our fans. And I think it's a place to come have fun with the product and try things that you can't find in your store or on our website. It's very, very fun place to be, and a cool place to start to see some of the other things that we're capable of and some of the things that we're working on. And it just adds a tremendous amount of value. It's here on South Lamar Boulevard, just south of the Whole Foods headquarter.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. Good. Yes, we're going to tell everybody that should be on their list whenever they visit Austin, because I know it's on mine. So that's awesome.
Well, now me and Kelly have to go drive to Austin and try ice cream, but that doesn't stop us. And now we'll know where to go knock on the door looking for you. We're like, hey, do you remember us? No, but we want to thank you so much for sharing your story and being on the podcast and helping us spread awareness about this brand and option for people to try. And we hope that all of our listeners will try and give you guys a chance, because there are some incredible, amazing flavors. So thank you again so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you all too. Thank you all so much. Appreciate it.
Well, what a way to kick off from our hiatus and being back with nothing but an amazing, exceptional guest who we appreciate so much for him being on the podcast. His story is great, and I love their idea of the company itself, and all the options and great things that they offer.
Yeah, I can't stop smiling. So sorry.
No.
I am telling you, it's just so refreshing that a CEO of a company has such a great heart, that at the very, very center of this company is the wanting to help other people.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the planet. And y'all, the ice cream is so good. Like, I know I can't call it ice cream, whatever they call it, but it is so good. I'm so thankful that Daniel took the time to hang out with us and chat and introduce all about Nodamu.
Yeah. I hope that you guys will try it. It's a great non-dairy, good treats. I mean, they have, again, so many amazing flavors, so many different flavors for depending on what your favorite is. And if you are in the Texas or even Austin area and listening, go to the shop, go experience things and try things and support them, because continuing supporting businesses like this will encourage others to do other things and put themselves out there to help, to continue to help different communities of different diseases, so that so that when, you know, unfortunately you do get diagnosed or you or a family member are struggling with something, there are different options and sweet treats or healthy treats or whatever for you. And when you support small businesses like this, and even though they're kind of bigger than small, but when you support alternative businesses like this, it helps give the motivation and courage for more to continue to happen, and it helps them continue to grow, to meet more audiences and to be able to help more people. So again, Daniel, thank you so much. Thank you to Natamu. Again, me and Kelly will be planning the road trip if you want to join us. Anybody going to Austin and, oh yeah, I'm totally dragging Ed. Like, we have to now go try this place because, you know, I love Austin. Austin is one of my favorite cities in the United States. I always say if I didn't live in Houston, I would live in Austin. So, and this is just another prime reason why. They just have so many great things in Austin if you've never been. But we're happy to be back with you guys. We are back. We have so much planned for the rest of 2021 to be with you guys. And we just wanted to kick it off with an amazing guest. So we thank you guys for listening. We thank you for being with us. And we will be back soon. As always, guys.
Remember to live life unfiltered.
Bye.
Bye.